So it's like in the morning, especially, I'm like, oh, it's so tight.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we're live at the festival again. We talk with Tony Miller about rape culture. Is there any way to fix it? And what does it mean to live in this society?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover. I am joining you from the luxurious trailer studios outside
luxury.
Of Renfest. And with me are my hosts, as always, Tim Wick.
Hi.
And Nick Glover.
I'm that one.
And we are once again joined by our dear friend, Tony Miller.
Hi.
And we are here. He is Seamus the Insulter out here at Renfest. You may know him. And we are here to... discuss the... I'm sorry, should we cut and start over?
No, not at all, no.
Oh, okay.
I was just making kissy sounds.
Oh.
It's good to see him, too.
I see. I am going to cut and start over, actually. Hold on, because I did that bottle. All right. Do you not want people to know your character? I don't remember if that was a thing.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah. No, you're great. That was a good intro.
I just had a minute. All right, ready?
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's all me. Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, coming to you from the luxurious trailer studios here at Renfest. I am joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
I am luxurious.
And Nick Glover.
I also am full of luxury.
And we are also joined by our dear friend, Tony Miller.
My hair is not luxuriant.
It's true. I'm looking at it. It's non-existent. Your hair is very close-cropped.
Below the ears.
Yeah,
below the ears. You do have a luxuriant beard.
Thank you. Well, very good. Yes, I call him Fernando.
Fernando the Beard.
Yes.
My love. All right. And today we are here at Fest and we are discussing rape culture, which is super funny.
We thought we'd just keep it light today.
Just a quick light episode in this terrible humidity.
Last week we talked about gun control. This week, rape culture.
We were thinking like... this heat and humidity is really oppressive. What else is oppressive?
Rape culture.
Yeah. That's good.
That is very good. Good segue, husband.
Yeah, well.
So there's something I want to bring up. I just read today. This is actually really fitting. So someone posted on Facebook a Tumblr post where someone says, you know, women are always saying feminists are always saying they should be able to walk around naked and not get raped. But if you left the doors to a bank open and it didn't get and it got robbed, whose fault is that? The bank or the robber? And the next comment is, literally the robber who walked in and took something that didn't belong to them, because you can't just go and take things that don't belong to you. And someone else, and then the next comment is, and can we please stop comparing women to inanimate objects? I'm not a fucking bank. I'm not a shiny wristwatch left on a table. I'm not a pile of money someone put in a circle of rope. Like, I am a human being. Don't rape me.
The biggest one that I've always come across is, I'm not an unlocked car.
Yeah.
With the keys in the ignition.
Yeah.
You know, because, wow, not only does that, and hi, I've been teaching self-defense for 21 years. So when it comes to rape culture, it exists.
Yeah.
It exists on a host of levels. If you want to talk about intersectionality, about media.
Microaggressions.
All sorts of. Now, you can't swing so far. That, you know, when we talked a little bit before we started about PC, what is PC?
Mm-hmm.
It's very valid to relabel things more truer without overt labels of prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
But you can swing so far that, oh, you looked at me for more than 3 seconds? Because St. Paul had that look law
years
ago, that if you looked at a woman more than 7 seconds, she could bring charges against you and you get a ticket.
That's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
But it was on the books for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
and so that's too far swing.
Yeah,
and we tend to live in a very polemic society. Things tend to be really over here or really over here.
Yeah,
and
us versus them.
Exactly. Yeah.
With us or against us.
Males versus females.
Yes.
Black for white. Rennies versus locals. You know, it's all the same.
We have to have a brawl.
When it comes to rape culture, you know, I'm always a huge fan. Whether it's dealing about atheism or dealing about everything, is let's define our terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is rape culture? To me, rape culture in our Western United States society is a culture that not only supports rape, but encourages it.
And doesn't penalize it.
That's what I mean
by
encouraging it.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of statistics about who gets raped, how, you know, what is the actual percentage of it, who, of reporting, much less being brought to trial, much less conviction.
Yeah.
We're not going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
Besides, we don't have those statistics sitting right in front of us.
Well, not only that, but the, something that I've always found interesting is we, even as far as we've come with, you know, let's talk about how we shouldn't rape women or like how having sex with a passed out woman is rape and things like that, we still make prison rape jokes about men. Yeah. That is an accepted thing. I've heard women who are staunchly anti-rape and who will say that, like, oh, you know, your poster made me feel unsafe and therefore it's rape culture, turn around and say things like, I hope Josh Duggar goes to prison and gets his butt fucked by a huge dude who's going to show him blah, 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 make him his. And it's like, you are doing the same. It's the same thing.
There's a kind of a back and forth with on Facebook. Someone posted something and some guy was like, rape culture is a myth. That doesn't exist. You're full of nonsense. And as our conversation went on, it got to a certain point where I made my point and then followed it up with, and he's going to say this, and he's going to say, it's such a small minority of people that are doing this, and it's such a small minority of people who are the victims, and how can that be representative of an entire culture or entire group of people, and it's unfair and blah, 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 blah. And, like, he didn't even read my comment. He literally posted, like, the exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just frustrating because it was with regards to the frat houses that were putting up the signs said she called you daddy for 18 years, now it's my turn.
Drop off your mom.
Yeah.
Which were blatantly aggressive. I understand they're a joke. I'm a comedian.
They're sexually aggressive.
But I wonder, my question about those, as a person who believes rape culture exists, that it's a real active problem that we need to be actively working towards a solution to these things. My question about those wasn't whether or not, like, frat boys have kind of an earned reputation for sexual assault, because that's just math. but I felt like, is there a difference between being overtly advertising the fact that you're trying to score with chicks, which I don't think frats need to advertise. I think that's also an earned reputation, and supporting or being, let's just say, rapey.
Mm-hmm.
Can they say, we're a frat and we're here to fuck some chicks? Well, is that rapey? Yeah.
Well, see, the thing that matters most is what is the context?
Okay.
No, what is the context of these sheets? If they were doing a parody skit, if they, you know, and I'm not going to say you have to do it this way, otherwise it's rapey, which is a great term, by the way. I haven't used that one. I like that.
That's a good term, yeah.
These guys were doing it, you know, to be provocative. They got their 15 minutes of fame.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it gets longer because of our news cycle. But they were doing it to provoke. That's cool. We all at this table do provocative humor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You guys do Ville. You guys do all sorts of things. I'm an insulter.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys did it in their culture of treating women like objects, of treating women to be scored. And they just underscored that ongoing culture of, we're men, drop off your women so we can fuck them.
Right.
And that's not funny.
If the sign had said, hey girls, welcome to college, like, feel free to come in for sex lessons or something like that, to me, that's actually more empowering in a way of saying, like, you are sexual beings. If that's what you want, we're here. Come get some. Like, there's ways they could have made those signs and not made it sound like women are to be sexed by us, with us. Where it's not something we do together. It's something I do to you.
I mean, I read those signs and I thought, all right, if I'm a parent bringing my daughter to school, I'm going to be like, boy, I'm not sure we picked the right school.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, not because
well,
I'm like...
you picked a public university, so
not because I'm afraid that my daughter's going to have sex, because of course she is, and that's I, you know, there's nothing wrong
you'd
with...
you'd hope.
There's nothing wrong with your college-age daughter having sex.
No.
That's not it. It's, I don't think I want him to have sex with these guys.
Well,
and then as a college-age female, even a college-age female is like, I'm going to get laid while I'm here at college and I'm looking forward to the experience. You may well look at that and go, shit, I don't want to go anywhere near those guys.
I knew girls in college who would have looked at that and been like, ha, awesome. And that's their right. Like, that's fine. Like, I knew a girl that was her favorite thing, was to go to frats and, like, get all the attention, that she loved it. She said, I love it. I love how they all want to fuck me. I love that they all, like, that they're really aggressive about it. And I get guys playing off each other. And that's what did it for her. Uh-huh. That's okay. But at the same time, like, that also, that doesn't mean that it's okay culturally. That doesn't mean it's okay for everyone.
I think
everyone.
There's a cultural expectation. I mean, if you go out there and you look at, especially like men's rights websites and stuff like that, and granted, they're kind of a far fringe, but even so,
kind of.
I think the frat mentality is that all the girls want what your one friend wanted.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, and that's where sexual assault happens at college, I think, in that expectation that.
So, yeah.
Two things. One, I think. It's important to go back to Tony. What you're saying is context matters for those signs, and I think a good way of restating what rape culture is context. That's what rape. When people say we exist in rape culture, all they're saying is our present cultural context is not fighting against rape enough, and is in fact. Maybe not necessarily always actively, but passively encouraging rape.
Yes.
I used to think this way. I'm actually at the fore... We actively support rape. We do it all the times in statute of limitations for child molestation. Oh, yeah. We do it in statute of limitations for raping of adult women.
We do it because the default assumption... when a woman says she's been raped, is that she's lying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby.
At least prove it.
Yeah. Bill Cosby is a great example. There was a literal village of women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that newspaper or the magazine article where they had all these women plus a blank chair because we don't know how many.
Right.
There's now over 45 women who've come forward and said, but it's no one really quite believed him until they brought up the deposition of Bill Cosby in 1995. Then they go, oh, well, maybe he did do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe those women even after a bunch of comedians were like, yeah, everybody knows.
A
bunch of people in the comedy community said, yeah, everybody knew. It was an unspoken thing about Bill Cosby.
Hannibal Buress was the one that...
A lot of the things that were said are the whole, like, oh, well, these are models who haven't gotten work for a while, or actresses who haven't gotten work for a while, and all of a sudden now we're paying attention to them, wonder why they did this. And it's like, hold on. Like, even if that's true, even if that woman said to herself, you know what? I am going to come forward about the fact that Bill Cosby tried to drug and rape me because I might get some, I'll get some money or some work out of it. Sure. Cool, good. I hope you got some work out of it since you got drugged and raped by Bill Cosby. Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations. You'll be the first person to ever get famous because you were raped and came forward about it, because that's not a thing that happens. No one makes their career on being raped.
And coming forward and saying you were raped by a celebrity is a great way to ensure that your career gets torpedoed.
Two things I do want to hit on, because I think it's important for all sides of all sides of this, and there are other sides. One of them is that men get raped by women, not just by men, and it doesn't happen that often, but it happens, and I feel it's unfortunate. I have some friends who. On Facebook, who have been raped by women and who have tried to enter conversations about rape and have been shouted down as, this isn't about you, this is a women's issue, and we're not taught. And it's like, no, this is a human issue about our sexuality and our body autonomy. And to me, this is very similar to an abortion discussion, which is like, I shouldn't have to submit to, I shouldn't have to get a fucking ultrasound, a vaginal ultrasound before I get an abortion, and you shouldn't have to force me to look at pictures of the fetus or whatever those laws are. It's bodily autonomy, and so there is that. There's also the conversation that bothers me, which is that whole Virginia University Rolling Stone article with the girl that it sounds like she made it up, or at least she decided to get revenge on a guy by saying she raped her after the fact, after consensual sex. And that sucks, because all that does is tear down the rest of the arguments and the validity of everything. And
it's like that one time a year when someone is getting mugged at gunpoint and they're armed and they shoot the mugger, and all the NRA is like, see, it does happen, you guys.
Yeah.
There's the false positive pattern assumption that happens in our society. But Molly, you touched on a really great thing. all it takes, and this is why I say we actively promote rape in our culture, all it takes is one known false report, and suddenly, well, all these victims are lying. And I'm like, that's how pervasive it is.
Because, because there's the potential of a victim to lie, we just automatically assume they're all lying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we never do it with murder victims. Yeah. I mean, because you're murdered. I mean, that's the thing. We never do it with crimes that are, like, that's why there's no statute of limitations on murder. They're murdered. You can't, they didn't lie about that. Yeah. And anything else people can lie about, and therefore that's not, you can, that kid's probably lying and didn't actually get molested. And that happens too, and that sucks. It just, it's...
Nick, you also brought up a very valid point. So when we need to fight rape culture, how do we do that? I saw a great TED Talk about a man who does leadership talks to NFL, to military organizations, saying, we are done to death about every single woman knows different tips on how to, quote, prevent rape. The conversation that's very much lacking is lack of leadership in men's circles and culture about changing that actual culture. So when you have someone make, and here's where it gets tricky again. This is a dynamic, social dynamic. We make jokes about it because it's so obscene. It causes that one comedian who brought the joke about Bill Cosby up and started this whole thing.
Hannibal Buress.
He didn't actually start it. Bill Cosby started
He started the awareness of it,
with a joke. Yeah. And it was contextually okay because it was in a nightclub. And also people get offended at nightclubs. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're in the wrong place.
But we need more leadership by the actual power structures that are here. Men, cisgendered, white males, still the power structure. We need to have leadership through them so that if someone makes a rape comment or other, you know, where are the other college guys, speaking of these banners, going up and going, hey, this isn't cool. Take it the fuck down.
If I was in another frat, like, what would have been great is to put up a banner that says, we'll take good care of women because we respect them here. They should come to our parties instead. Like, that would be an amazing...
Yeah, that'd be
like,
great.
They'd make a shit ton of money. I mean, that's...
Not to mention the positive social attention and they're helping.
But see, that's
that scene is weak. That scene is weak for men.
Right, and that conversation needs to ongoing happen, or needs to be ongoingly happen. I get really wound up about this.
Yeah.
I just had some rape seminars that I taught in, or self-defense seminars I taught in Rochester with specifically transgendered women. And in a couple weeks, I'll be doing queer teens, and I'll also be doing the women in the public defender's office. So
I'm sorry, just phrasing.
I'll be doing them.
Do them all.
Humor.
But it'll be consensual. We just want to make that clear.
But it's so pervasive. Where were the other frat guys?
Yeah.
Where were the other male students, non-frat people, going, walking up in groups or, you know, and I know...
It's that silence is acceptance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's tons of pressure on men to... And it doesn't make it okay to not speak up, but there's a ton of societal pressure on men to not speak up in situations like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's the conversation that a lot of feminists are having, and I agree with it, although, I mean, it's problematic, the idea that we shouldn't be teaching women to avoid rape, we should be teaching men not to rape.
We should be teaching both.
And the fact is we have to teach both.
We have to teach both. Women are never going to not be a commodity. I'm sorry, they're never going to not be a commodity. It's been thousands and thousands of years.
maybe in a few thousand more.
Maybe in a few thousand more years.
But that's no reason.
It's not going to happen in our lifetime, so we might as well act as if it's... You have to teach women how to avoid being raped. Not because that's okay, not because it's fair, but because they need to know that.
It's at Convergence this year. Convergence has always been a forerunner in
anti-harassment
and safe space for conventions, for science fiction conventions and not science fiction conventions. And they have, like this year, there were posters up that were basically like rape prevention tips. And some of those things were really helpful because it was like saying, you know, what if this is your first convention and you don't know about like the room parties and stuff? And well,
there was one that occurred to me that it never would have occurred to me. There's a poster that said, feeling drunk but haven't had any alcohol, report to the bridge. And I was like, huh, that would never have occurred to me because if I had been drinking last night and I'd been drinking, you know, 2 days before, but I haven't had any alcohol today, and all of a sudden I start feeling drunk, I probably wouldn't notice, because I probably would just be like, oh, it's convergence. Everyone's feeling drunk. And no one would notice around me. They'd be like, oh, Molly's just drinking because everyone drinks.
They would assume.
And so that was a great, I mean, I'm 37, and that was an eye-opener for me.
So I feel like you can educate in a way to help enable people to take steps to not be victims. There's like I hate to say personal responsibility, because it's not really anyone's personal responsibility to make sure they don't get raped, but you can educate in that way. But there was a counter poster put up by convention attendees that said, steps to help prevent rape. Step one, don't rape people.
Like, step two, if you're in with a group of people and you feel yourself with the urge to rape, tell your friend and have them make sure you don't rape anyone. Like, go to parties in pairs to make sure neither one of you rapes anybody.
Yep. It was all the same steps, but it was for the raper and not a potential victim.
But there's a huge argument on Facebook about that.
Huge.
There were men saying, those posters made me feel shitty because I knew that I wasn't going to rape anyone. And those posters very clearly made it seem like they thought men raped women and that all men were blah, blah, blah. And it was a very,
those
men conversation.
Those posters were specifically directed at somebody who might rape someone.
Those
if it's not you,
funny.
Those posters were funny for men, they're for rapists.
And they were funny, And if it's not you, then it's not for you. Right. And just laugh at it and think it's funny.
Guess what? No rapist read that poster and went, oh, like that didn't happen.
It's the all lives matter thing. It's the fact that
not all men.
That people look at the situation and what they see in it is how it's all about them. Instead of recognizing, no, if you're not a rapist, this poster isn't for you, other than to think, huh, that's funny.
Well, you know? Or to just, you're not a rapist, but say you're not one of the people actively
being sought out to get raped.
Or no, you're not a rapist, you're a man, and you just are very indifferent about the whole thing. I think it's important to not, you know, beat people over the head with it or rub their faces in it, but at the same time, make people understand and acknowledge the fact that rape is a problem.
It's a poster.
You can be a passive, no, I don't want to say accomplice because that's too guilty.
You can be a
passive enabler of, that's what rape culture is about, is passive or is in your opinion, active enabling of rape. There's something to be said about making people aware of the problem. And if it makes you uncomfortable to be made aware of that problem, that uncomfortableness should be like a mental red flag to you that's saying, why is this making me uncomfortable? Oh, because it's a problem with our society and I'm not helping fix it in any way. I'm allowing it to happen by my inaction.
Yep.
That uncomfortableness should be letting you know that something's wrong.
I haven't had a single moment during the Black Lives Matter protests where I've been like, I can't believe these assholes are ruining my day. It's always been more like, oh, wow, this is pretty serious if they're blocking Snelling.
Yeah, this is
like, this is a big deal. This matters a lot.
First of all, blocking Snelling, oh, no, how could you possibly make the fair traffic and construction in that area worse? Like, I mean, if you wanted to get the message out, maybe you should pick a road that people actually use.
No, this is sort of on a tangent, but they actually have a booth at the state fair this year that is
BLM.
They say it's a Black Lives Matter booth, except 90% of the shirts they're selling are All Lives Matter shirts.
Oh yeah, I saw that. Picture that.
And I walked by there one day last week, and I tell you what, everybody standing in line to buy a shirt was a middle-aged white person.
Of course.
I bet you were not buying a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And much like a conversation around rape culture, it's the same thing. It's failing to understand that when you're talking about rape culture, you're trying to call attention to a problem that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Black Lives Matter is doing. Mm-hmm. They're calling attention to a problem that needs to be solved. They're not saying, fuck you, white people, your lives don't matter.
Right.
They're saying, it's pretty clear white lives matter. Have you noticed that these lives matter as well?
I just want to, before I play devil's advocate at all, I just want to make it clear that, like, I'm not against Black Lives Matter. What Molly said is basically how I feel on the subject. It's giving people a voice that historically have been marginalized and
Currently, even.
Right. Well, historically, you know, still
living, to this living
as in,
history. Yeah.
As in 5 minutes ago.
Right, as in just a minute ago.
Culture changes.
So I feel like, shit, I lost my argument. What was it? It was, I know what it was. Someone said, okay, so police violence is a problem. Police violence is a problem for white people. Police violence is more of a problem for black people. Statistically, mm-hmm. this is an objective truth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Shouldn't we solve the problem of police violence, therefore solving it for everyone, rather than just focusing on one group? Shouldn't we put our efforts on preventing police violence rather than preventing police violence against black people? And, like, I understand that the good nature of that argument, and I understand the well-meaning, like, problem-solving aspect of that. Like you're trying to fix the systemic problem rather than treat the
symptoms. You're fixing the
symptoms,
symptom, not the disease.
Right. It's a cause-symptom thing. And I feel like, sure, but we can focus on this right now and that other thing when we have that conversation. Mm-hmm. These are two related but separate conversations, and when you make that conversation, you're not realizing that you're continuing to marginalize this group of people who are disenfranchised. And it works for rape.
Yeah.
Good circle back, by the way. Yes. Can we fix systemic police violence? Yes. But how about we start with black or violence on black people?
Mm-hmm. Right.
From the police.
Right. Do when men get raped? Yes.
Yes, they do, actually. Absolutely. In much larger numbers
because
than
of prison.
Think.
Because
yes.
of prison, especially.
Not only just because of prison, but yeah. Yes, it's, you know, when the president
also,
of the United States
also
comes out,
under, I believe, underage sexual
yeah.
violence is,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Is far heavier against mm-hmm. young boys than it is against
the lack of
young
reporting.
Girls.
There's a reason there's a lack of reporting, because you report and you get ostracized. If you're a man and you get raped,
yeah.
It's weird to say this because it's a power structure of men in our society. They get treated a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of times they're not even believed.
Is that because we're so used to women being the subject the victims of rape that we don't get as angry or ostracizing of the victim because we're more comfortable with that idea and we're less comfortable with the idea of men being raped? Therefore, when that is reported or when that's acknowledged, the penalties are greater for the victim? Greater is...
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I think a lot of it is, if a man gets raped, he's as weak as a woman.
Right.
Okay.
And he gets treated the same, and now worse, because it's actively like being portraying or betraying the power structure.
There's also a fundamental misunderstanding of biology, where people are like, well, if you got an erection, then you enjoyed it.
Right.
So it's just the whole, like, well, was she wet when you raped her? Well, then she liked it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's your body can betray you in ways that you can't help. Like, that's not an emotional or, like, that's not okay. And I know there's one of my favorite SVU, Law & Order SVU episodes, is a man who got gang raped by four women. They invite him over, and he gets there, and he thinks he's going to be on a date with this one woman. And there's all these adult women having a party. And they're like, oh, come in, you're the entertainment. And, like, they get him drunk, and they tie him up, and they rape him. And the episode is so, I mean, it's clumsy because it's early 2000s, but it's so, like, it's very, like, how can that even happen? How can that even happen? How does a woman even rape a man? You can't. You wanted it. You know it. There's no way.
Well, wedding
it's just
crashers.
So awful.
There's a scene in Wedding
Crashers. Oh, yeah.
He gets raped.
He does.
Yeah.
But somehow, because it's a rom-com, they wind up together because mm-hmm. they truly love her. I'm like, they flipped the dynamic, and it went by a lot of people's radar.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You talked before, once again, I go back to male leadership. There's so much that needs to happen. As far as self-defense training, a lot of what I teach, among other things, is that these are not lessons to learn in fear. Mm-hmm. It's no different than if you put on a safety belt in a car.
Mm-hmm.
Your just awareness is up. But I love the fact that we're actively talking in our culture now about active consent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a subtle thing, but it is a huge difference. Can she, and most rapes are against women, can she actively consent to sex? If she's too drunk or she's passed out, that fixes that whole loophole that's been used quite a bit. I wish I could actually see it more in legal matters.
Yeah.
But it's starting to happen culturally.
I wish that I think something that would help a lot for real, with active consent, is I wish that we could teach women from a younger age not to be afraid of sex, not to be afraid
that's part of it.
And to say, God, yes, fuck me, I want to have sex with you.
Yes.
As opposed to being coy, and it's this thing we're supposed to be like, oh, we don't want it, but okay. And that's
I don't know. Do you want to do it?
That's a big problem with this, is because a lot of young boys and young men get mixed signals from women because they've been taught that that's what men want, is mixed signals. They've been taught that they shouldn't.
Or that it's a chase, or that it's a conquest.
Or that, yeah, they've been taught they shouldn't want sex. They shouldn't, that makes them sluts, that they shouldn't desire it. But if someone talks them into it, then it's all right.
We're talking the big problem of, you know, police violence again. The big problem is sex positivism in our society.
Yep.
Our society is not a sex positive society, and I think the lack of sex positivity within our society promotes rape culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It makes women less willing to report it. It makes women like ashamed and vulnerable as victims, and it encourages men to think about sex as I fucked her and not we fucked.
And if you're a woman who likes to have sex and then you report rape and somebody says, well, how many partners have you had? And you say 20.
It's not relevant.
Then it's like you like having sex and therefore you didn't get raped.
Or even worse, it teaches men that women don't want it and you have to talk them into it.
Yeah.
It teaches men that you have to coerce them.
Yeah.
It teaches men that when women, I mean, how often do you know there's all kinds of things, the whole like, well, when she says no, she means yes. And I know that that is an old joke, but I know girls I have lots of young female friends who will come up to me and be like, well, I don't know what to say to him. I like him, but I don't know if I should just, I'm like, tell him you like him. Just like that? Yes, just tell him you like him. Well, won't he think that's too forward? Well, for fuck's sake, you like him, right? Like, why is it too forward? To see what you want.
If he thinks it's too forward, then maybe you don't want to go out with him.
And I mean, so, but it's this whole, I mean, this is 2015, and these girls are still thinking this way, because that's how they've been
pervasive.
Raised.
That's why it's still pervasive.
Yep.
And it's pervasive through media culture.
Oh, yeah.
We are getting close to, I think.
Yeah, we are.
We'll get to follow. Well,
so just to wrap it up, I really think that, I mean, obviously it's a complicated issue more than I mean, any societal issue is. But I think one thing, I love that you're teaching self-defense. One of the best things I learned was when I was a senior in high school, I took a self-defense course. They actually brought it to my school. We all took it together, women and men. And one of the things one of my favorite parts of it was, if someone's coming toward you and you take two big steps back and put your hands up and say no, if they don't immediately stop in their tracks, like that means that at that point, that is a person who is coming at you. That is a person who intends you harm. And you should assume whatever you need to assume. And I think a lot of times, especially in Minnesota, we're taught to be nice. And women especially. Like, I can't tell you how often a guy has been, it's gross, hitting on me. And I don't want to be like, go fuck yourself and leave me the fuck alone. Because what I should say is, oh, thanks. No, thank you. Or I'm owned by another man. Yeah. I'm married.
Yeah. No, I'm married.
No, I'm owned. Yep.
Is he here? I don't see him.
Yeah. And I also really thank you for teaching this to trans women, especially because I feel like they are the most victimized right now in our culture.
We were talking about, right before we came down here, I was talking about Tim. The women who came to my group, they stayed afterwards and started telling me stories. Two of them have been physically attacked in Rochester, one by baseball bats. So when say that transgender women are the most assaulted demographic in our society, I've dealt with this stuff for so long. I try not to get angry. I always say on this podcast, I try not to get angry at people. I'm a very passionate guy.
A little anger is a good thing, though.
It is righteous anger. Aha! Ask me the five questions.
Let's
do five questions after that exciting thing. Okay. Question number one: what is a movie that you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
Oh, Shawshank Redemption.
That's a good one.
You know what? That's mine.
Have you read the book?
Oh, yeah. I've read the book.
I love the story. The movie. It's such a good novella.
I do not watch it on network TV because they chop it up.
Yeah.
I hate that.
That and Seven Samurai.
Awesome. Yeah.
Sure. This will be an interesting one.
Question two.
For you. I'm looking forward to this one.
No. We don't. Yeah. It's just you.
We came up with new five questions.
We retired
the originals.
Yes.
This is our new one.
These are just for you.
So our second one is, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a buffalo hide pouch filled with dice from D&D that I've been playing for 36 years. There's actually a handful of dice in there that are 36 years old.
That's awesome.
I can't do the die 20 anymore because it's been so rounded off, it just rolls
around. That's great.
It's a marble. It's a plastic marble.
I love that one.
With numbers on it. A marble with numbers on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
Which supernatural or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Fictional, historical, fictional, whichever.
Oh, wow.
Any religion or mythology or anything.
So don't.
Don't wish
that
anyone's
was an
real.
Excellent
is a good
excellent question.
Yeah, that's a valid answer.
Do I wish that was real. Gaia.
Ah, okay. the spirit
of
Earth.
The Earth.
Yeah, that's a good. That's I like that. That's a good supernatural.
The mother. The mother. The idea that there's something birthing and taking care of us.
I would go with Gaia.
I like that.
Wow, that was a challenging question.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, Gaia is a good answer though. We haven't had that one. All right, so let's assume that religion is gone. If religion is gone, what do you think the biggest problem that faced humanity would be?
Fear of the other. If I could get rid of one thing, religion, I would actually get rid of fear of the other over religion, because religion helps promote fear of the other.
That's, Ron's answer was tribalism. It's a very good.
It's the same thing. Ron and I talk a lot. but it's the fear of the other. You know, that's a homeless person. That's different from me. I don't need to pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a woman who's drunk at a party. Well, I don't want to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the peer group stuff. It is the, it's a syndrome when you witness something and nobody does anything.
Oh, yeah.
The bystander effect.
Someone call 911 versus you call 911.
Exactly. Yeah. As soon as you do that, you break that barrier and people start doing things. So it'd be fear of the other.
I
remember one time I saw a car accident and I was like, I witnessed it. I didn't really witness it. I just saw the results and I'm like, crap. And I pulled up and I'm like, I bet a bunch of people are calling 911, but I'm going to do it too, just in case I'm wrong.
I'm the one out of the car. Like that's, actually one time realized I was stupid because I saw a truck overturn in front of me. A pickup truck like was weaving and then it went over in front of me. I pulled over. I was out of the car before it had actually come to a stop. My friend had to put it in park because I was out of the car. Got the woman out. She was so drunk. And then I realized, I'm dumb. I didn't check for gasoline around the car or if the car was running. I didn't tell her to turn off the ignition, which is not smart because we could have both died. You know,
reach your throw, don't go, Molly.
You know, fear of the homeless. And I've actually, I started doing this because, you know, there are always people standing at street corners holding up signs. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I've always been like, fuck that and not done anything. And I made a conscious decision that if I can give them money, I'll give them a buck. It's just like I keep money in my car, and if like I'm at a stoplight and I can roll down my window and give them money, I will. And you know what? They're cool people. They're nice people. Mm-hmm. And I always think today is going to be like 110 heat index, and they're going to be people standing outside holding signs asking for money. I'm like, shit, I wouldn't stand outside in 110 degree heat and ask for money.
Oh, wait.
You can have some.
Oh, wait. Literally going to spend your day standing in 110 degree heat asking for money.
Shut up. That's
true.
I guess it's a little bit of that, too.
Policy is if I have money and their sign is secular and doesn't say God bless or anything, they get my money. Or if they're busking or providing any sort of minor service. Like the other day I was downtown and there was a guy who had a sign up that said insults $1, compliments $2. And I walked up and I'm like, let's do this. I've got some ones. And I'm like, started handing the guy ones and I gave him a few insults back. And he's like, can I have that? I'm like, that's yours, man. Like,
awesome. Was he?
And like, he was weak sauce, but it was, but he was like friendly and had a lot of enthusiasm.
If they're busking, I automatically.
Yeah. Right. Cause I mean, I feel like,
and I,
a little bit of effort goes a long way.
And I'll admit the God bless signs bug me because I think they're pandering. I don't think they actually
believe
it.
Yeah.
I think they just put it there because they figure it's going to attract more people who
believe
in God, even though I don't think it works, but I still give them the money.
Well, I'm trying to encourage the behavior with my dollar or whatever. Question number 5, the last question. What is your favorite quote?
By far, it's do unto others as you would have done unto you. Confucius came up with it 500 years before it was ascribed to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basic moral ethical underpinning of every moral structure.
Mm-hmm.
It is the golden rule for a reason. Do that, all the world will be a better place.
It's true.
La-da-da. That's what, do you know Bo Burnham?
I love Bo Burnham.
Okay, yeah. It's hit in one of his stand-up bits. It's on topic. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you, said the rapist.
Yeah. That's a good bit.
Right, yeah.
Good bit.
Yeah.
That works
full circle.
Socio or psychopathic.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Tony. This has been wonderful. If you guys have thoughts on rape culture, and I'm guessing you do, feel free to make comments on Facebook or on our post on geeksoutgod.com. We will see you at the festival. We're here for a few more weeks.
Yeah.
Come on out and see us. Seamus the Insulter is Tony. Tim is in the Dregs and Vilification Tennis. Nick and I are in Vil 10. And also, we do Wise Fools Improv. If you're looking to find one of us, that's a good place to do
Also, check out the wine tasting.
The Off the Vine wine tasting.
Hosted by Fearless Comedy Productions.
So. It's true. And featuring all the all three of us. Yeah. So, like us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter and all the good stuff. Tell your friends, tell your everyone's.
Tell homeless spread the word. With signs.
Tell homeless people with signs to go to geeksoutgod.com.
Tell frat boys with signs.
Yeah, make a sign at your frat. Make a big sign at your frat that says geeksoutgod.com.
Oh my God.
Take a picture and send it to us.
Please do that. All right.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
I'm trying to think of something, but all I can think of are rape jokes. Just give me a second.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Drop your daughters off here. We listen to Geeks Without God. That would be
amazing.
That's such a safe zone.